Hey everyone, on today's podcast, we discuss the best type of strength training for younger Irish dancers. We already know that without strength training for dancing, you would never be able to produce your greatest speed, power and height, or even stay injury free. But what exactly are the differences in strength training from a younger dancer to an older dancer? And if you aren't doing any strength training, you may be missing out on huge performance gains. Listen as we discuss everything you need to know about strength training for younger Irish dancers. My name is Lauren Early and I am a former six-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 15. So guys, for today's episode, what we're going to be discussing, as you heard in the intro, is pretty much going to be talking around strength training and the best type of strength training for younger dancers. Now, the reason for this topic is simple, because over the last week or two weeks, when we started putting up information around the Junior Academy, we've had a huge amount of questions come through regarding what is the difference in fitness training between the Junior Academy and also between the Senior Academy. Now, as I was writing back, I realized it would be a very good topic for us to talk about on the show, because essentially it's important for you to understand that there is a huge difference between strength training or fitness training for a younger dancer as there would be for a older dancer. So it's important that even if you're not on the academy, that you understand what these differences are, and actually you're going to be able to get a lot of value out of this answer, because it will ultimately help you plan your strength training around your current age and your current ability levels, okay? So if you're a teacher or a dancer, ultimately it is very, very important to know why we need the strength train and the type of strength training we should be doing for our age, all right? Now, over the last kind of 25 years, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that pre-adolescent children, or younger dancers in this case, are very, very capable of safely improving muscle strength, okay? But only with the appropriate training regimes. So the big misconception and the fear is that we start strength training with younger athletes and they're going to get injured. But in fact, the main reason why we would ever do any type of strength training with a younger athlete is simply to avoid injury, okay? The goal of strength training with the younger dancer is not to massively improve their muscle size, massively improve their muscle force. You know, all of those performance aspects will come later down the line. The reason for strength training is to avoid injury by building a solid foundation, but yet we instantly associate strength training with injury the second we think about younger athletes doing any form of strength training. So the aim of this podcast is to kind of iron that out and just discuss, well, what type of training would they actually be doing? But as I say, studies have shown that it is completely safe and adolescents are completely capable of improving their muscle strength so long as we have an appropriate training regime. So what would an appropriate training regime look like for a younger dancer, and what would the differences be for someone older or as that child then gets older, okay? Now, strength training or strengthening increases twofold, or at least it doubles between the ages of around 7 and 12 years of age, okay? And that's just naturally through what you're kind of doing in sport every day, or dancing, or school, whatever it might be. So when we're looking at strength training for a younger dancer, we ultimately are trying to develop and focus on all of the skills, okay? Skills and technique. Now, under the umbrella of strength training, we can have muscular strength, but we also have neuromuscular strength, okay, in the nervous system. And essentially what we're trying to develop here in this section is skills and techniques such as balance, stability, proprioception, spatial awareness, agility, all of those key skills that you really require. You require in life, but obviously you're going to require them in any speed-based sports such as dancing, because it's all about pinpoint accuracy, sharpness, aggressive turns. Everything has to be on point. Now, every type of movement that comes under this, so like I say, balance, stability, and so on, all of the improvements that you get from this type of strength training come from neuromuscular development, okay? So this at this age range, it is the ideal time to teach these neural skills. Gains from strength training are generally from the nervous system in younger dancers and motor learning, okay? So just like learning how to walk, you're still growing, you're kind of, your nervous system is still very, very much adaptable and you can really, really train those skills. But once you get past a certain age, you will really, really struggle. Now, as an older dancer or an older athlete, you will be focusing on strength training for muscular development and also for hormones, right? But as a younger dancer, you're focusing on strength training for, from a neuromuscular perspective, motor skills, technique, and learning, all right? The sharper we can make you at that age, then the more chance you have of obviously reaching your full potential, staying injury-free, but also then you have a huge base that you can move on to develop your muscular development and your hormones later down the line, okay? Now, this all sounds very confusing, but it's very, very simple. One of the biggest issues with beginner dancers going into class is that their body has not been exposed to any kind of forces before, right? So you take a 9-year-old child who goes into a dance class for the very first time. For the first 6 months to 1 year, that child is going to be walking through steps, okay? So they're going to be walking through steps so they can build up the motor pattern. Essentially, what you're doing there is motor training, motor skills, all right? So that child is trying to pick up the skills of what the steps actually require. But we're missing one main component here, and that is that once that child is able to dance at full speed, something happens, and obviously the force is going to be much greater. So if I'm a teacher, or I'm a dancer, or a parent, I got to be thinking about something like this. My child just started a dance class, and they're walking through steps, but in 6 months' time, I know that that child's going to be able to go through things at full speed. Now, why not spend the first 6 months, along with still teaching them their dance steps, also developing all these other skills and also teaching them how to absorb force? Because I know in 6 months' time, when they go through the dances at full speed, there's also going to be a huge component of force that isn't there when we're walking through steps. Okay, so it's kind of preparing for what's about to come. Now, that's massively missed in the sport of Irish dancing, which means that when that child is now able to dance at full speed, or they know their movements off by heart, they've kind of learned how to walk, if you like, they've picked up all the motor skills that they require, we now go through things at full speed, and with that comes a lot of impact, which also means that that comes with it a higher injury risk. And if we don't teach the children how to absorb the force properly, we're going to get injured. And unfortunately, Irish dancing has one of the highest injury rates in all sports, and it's not a contact sport, right? So there's no reason for it to be this high. But if we look right back to day one, is so, so important that if you think about it, most dancers are going to be a dancer for 10, 15 years. There's very rarely do we have a 1 or 2 year dancer. If they enjoy it, they're going to be in the sport for a very long time. Now, the problem is that we rush things and try and get them to be successful very, very quickly, when ultimately that first year or so, we should be focusing on building a really solid foundation at that age, so that we can understand that they're going to be injury-free and they're going to have those skills for the rest of their life. And it's obviously going to massively reduce injury risk further down the line when we start speeding things up and there's more force involved, which means there's more chance of getting injured. Now, one of the biggest issues with this type of strength training is that you only have a certain window in which you can do this in. So in adults, things like balance and proprioception and so on, they can only be regained, but they can't necessarily be taught. Okay, so in other words, if you don't have already, or you don't already have great balance skills by the age of 12, 13, 14, you're not really going to be able to dramatically improve as an adult. Okay, you're just not. Your body has passed that stage. We all know the person who, no matter what age they are now, they still trip up steps, they still fall getting off the bus, they still walk in the lamppost, they still kick the settee on the way past. It's one of those things that you're just always going to be that way, because it's very, very hard to develop new skills the older you get, okay? And so if you mean, you only have to look at like alpine skiers. Alpine skiers are on the slopes from the age of 3, 4, 5, from the second they can walk essentially. And they have the best balance and proprioception skills in the world out of any sport, because these kids are so used to developing it on the slopes, right? Now, if you look at someone like a swimmer, when a swimmer retires from swimming, let's say at the age of 25 or 30, when they get out of the pool, they couldn't kick a football and chew chewing gum at the same time, because their balance and proprioception is all over the place, because at a young age, they're learning how to have balance and proprioception in a pool against moving water. And when they're on solid land, they find it very, very difficult to be coordinated on something that's not moving, right? So we know this, but it's been studied in all of the sports before. So we know that even if we try with those athletes at an older age, take a swimmer at 35 or 40, or take someone with really bad balance problems at that age and try to make their balance better, it's very, very slow progress. It can't really be done very much because your body has what it has. All right, your nervous system has what it has, and so you've missed that window. Now, if you get injured, you can regain the balance that you lost. So depending on what you have as an older dancer, that's pretty much what you will have for life. If you get injured, you can regain it back. So in that aspect, there is an importance of some form of stability training in a dancer's program. But ultimately, if you're fully healthy, you haven't got injured, and you're spending 5 days a week trying to improve your balance, it's not really a great use of your time, because we know that you're not going to get very far with it. What you have is pretty much what you have, okay? And you'd be better spending that time focusing on the type of strength training that an older dancer would need, which is more of the muscular development and hormones part of it, okay? So the actual strength training that people would refer to in their head when they hear the word strength. Now, if you look, flicking back then to younger dancers, now, how would we actually teach neural skills? So we know that neural skills are going to be proprioception, balance, spatial awareness, agility, all those side-to-side movements, all those rotational movements. If I have a dancer who is dancing 3 days per week as a beginner, 2 to 3 days per week, right? One of the biggest issues with learning a new skill is that you can't really do it for a long period of time. You can do it very, very frequently, but it has to be for a very short period of time. And what I mean by that is this. Imagine if I was to try and teach you how to play golf and you don't have a clue how to play golf. But we said that you need to hit on average around 700 golf balls per week to actually learn that skill. Now, if you had to hit 700 golf balls per week, I could give you 700 to hit in 1 day. I could give you 100 balls to hit across 7 days. I could give you 50 balls to hit twice per day, or I could give you 25 balls to hit 4 times per day. Now, ultimately, across the end of the week, you're still hitting 700 balls per day. But what do you think would be more accurate? Okay, obviously, the more accurate is going to be hitting 25 golf balls 4 times per day. If I give you 700 to hit straight off the bat, you'll probably get till around 25, 30 or 35 balls, and suddenly the balance and the proprioception and the focus and all of those things will slowly diminish, and your swing is going to be all over the place, okay? By the time you hit the 700, it's going to be terrible. But you're still hitting 700. So as a beginner dancer dancing 3 days per week, there's only so much. You probably really only have a 20-minute window in which you can actually learn proper neural skills. After that, it's not really going to improve much, and you need to come back and revisit it again, okay? So if I'm a dancer or I'm a teacher, and one of the things we'll be teaching in the Teaching Academy is how do we actually include some neural skills into class that doesn't have to focus on the same thing. So we're not teaching dancing for 1 hour or 1 hour or 2 hours to beginner kids that only really need have that 20-minute window to develop this. On top of that, we can also do neural skills outside of class, because like I just said, it's better to be worked on frequently, but for a short period of time. So outside of dance class, we want to maximize the development of these skills, so we can add in different types of training around their class, as well as them obviously practicing their steps at home. But you're not going to be able to do things at a quicker pace, right? When you're still trying to pick up your steps, you're doing them very slow. So we're missing a huge opportunity to develop balance at a faster pace, because if you're developing your balance while you're walking through steps, it's not going to be that much challenging compared to what it's going to be when you're moving fast through your steps. So at the same time as you being a beginner and learning how to do your steps. That's going to still develop your neural skills, but just not to the same capacity that moving through things at full speed would. So let's say then I can add in some games, or I can implement some type of training that's going to develop these neural skills at full speed away from dancing, which means that when you actually learn how to dance your steps at full speed, your body already has that stability and balance ingrained in it from doing your other skills at full speed. All right, now, one option, or I'll give you a few options of what we could do here. Very, very simple. Now, if you were to plan your strength training around, let's say, for example, we go for like speed and agility in one section, and you also have things like balance on the other section, proprioception in a third section, all skills that are excellent as a dancer. One session could be something as simple as, I mean, we done this ages ago with dancers at a workshop way back at the start when kind of Reaching New Heights was starting to be created. And we stuck a video on Facebook and a lot of people laughed because they just didn't understand what it was all about. Ultimately, all we done was have a child stand with a medicine ball. They squat down. Then they hip thrust back up. They throw the ball right behind their head. So they launch it overhead due to the force coming through the hips. And then they rotate. They run and grab the ball. And then they just walk back and give us it. Now, to the average person, that looks like such a simple, silly game, right? Why do we have 20 dancers on a pitch throwing a medicine ball behind their head, running and getting it and coming back? But what people failed to notice back then, and probably still now, is that what exactly is that dancer doing when they're doing that movement? So they're understanding how to use their hips to thrust upwards, which is going to give them great height off the ground. They understand then how to rotate very, very quickly. As soon as that ball goes over the head, they have to rotate so sharp. And then they understand how to accelerate across a very short distance of 5, 10, or 15 meters, okay? Whatever distance they can throw the ball. So we have taught hip acceleration. We have taught how to rotate very quickly. And then we have taught sprinting acceleration across a short distance. Now that short distance is going to be very, very relative to stage distance, okay? So you've just spent 5 minutes playing a game with a younger dancer who just found it extremely fun and engaging. But what they don't know is that they've just been developing their rotation skills, they've been developing their acceleration skills across a short distance, and they've been developing their ability to use their hips to get off the ground, okay? So those are three massively important skills that that dancer now knows and understands how to do and can implement into their dancing when they're ready to go through things at full speed. So to the average person, these games seem very silly, but to us, they're extremely important in the development of a dancer because we can really prepare them for what's about to come without actually having to keep hammering away at the dance steps all the time, yeah? For balance, something very, very simple we get the younger dancers to do is like stand on one leg, face a partner, stand on one leg, and they can throw the medicine ball to each other. So they're creating instability, and their body obviously then has to find stability and not let them fall over or not let them put their other foot down. Yeah, another very simple one would be to get into a lunge position, a static lunge position, and have someone just walk around the person and just give them little taps to try and fall over. Okay, and obviously the purpose is that someone's creating the instability and your body has to brace tight and brace against that stability. So this teaches the dancer how to keep their upper body engaged whilst their legs are working and everything stays stable. Again, it's a very fun game to do with a younger dancer, but ultimately we know what the real reason for it is that we're actually doing. In terms of teaching multi-directional based stuff, another very good thing that we would do is imagine if you just lay out like a 15 meter or a 10 meter box, like a square, and you put two dancers in the middle of this square. Now, what you can do is hang, and we've done this in a lot of our workshops, we hang a rope or a Velcro strap out the back of one of the dancers, kind of like a tail, if you like, and we put 20 seconds on the clock. And essentially what we have to do is one dancer has to chase the other dancer around the square and try and get the tail. And the dancer that has the tail or the Velcro hanging out the back of their shorts or whatever, they have to keep rotating and turning around. So what this does is it has two dancers in across a 15 meter space. that they're constantly doing extremely fast feet work. They're rotating, they're accelerating, they're turning, they're moving away. They're building up their proprioception because they're aware of where the other person is in this square, which means that on stage, they know where the other person is. They know how to get out of a corner. They know how to accelerate. They know how to rotate really quickly. And so this game, again, it looks like another very silly game. Why do we have two dancers running around trying to grab a piece of rope out of the back of the other dancer? But ultimately, it's so, so important because they're developing the skills. They're developing the ankle strength by constantly changing direction and pushing off different feet, different legs. They're not favoring one leg over the other. They have to, you know, create strength in both legs equally. And so when we discuss strength training, this is exactly what we mean. These dancers are going to be getting stronger through this type of training, but it's stronger in terms of all of the developmental skills that we need and all the skills that are going to build that solid foundation right through until the age of 12 or 13. And that's kind of when we can move on and progress on to the more muscular type of strength training and hormonal type of strength training, such as lifting dumbbells and all of those heavier exercises. So dancing's a multi-directional based sport. And as a young dancer, you really want to take advantage of that window where you can actually develop all these skills so that you're not weak in one leg, you're not weak in one, you know, one rotation, you're not weak in the upper body. Everything understands how to work properly. And unfortunately, in the first 6 months to 1 year of dancing, it's just not possible to develop these correctly because A, you're not really doing anything else other than walking through steps. So you'll be developing it in terms of your steps. But like I say, it's at a much slower speed when you're walking through them. So that does not prepare you for the balance that you need when you're going through things at fast pace. It also doesn't prepare you for the force that's going to be going through your joints at a fast pace. And it also is generally too long because we only really have that 20-minute window where we can really learn a new skill before the focus drops off as well. So my advice to any dancer from the age of 14 and below is you really want to focus on all of those skills, proprioception, balance, spatial awareness, agility, all of those skills that are going to make you a great dancer when you get older, but also just keep you injury free for your entire career. And it seems crazy that would even be possible in Irish dancing, but believe me, it is. I don't think Lauren ever had an injury when she danced, and there's a lot of other top dancers that stay injury free the entire time. So it is completely possible. It's just not normal at the moment, but hopefully through information like this and through the academies that we can actually and train people at a younger age to develop a better foundation. You know, we hear from so many older dancers now who message in and say they wish they had this type of learning when they were younger because they're still suffering from dance injuries long after they've retired. Ultimately, the two main goals are to stay injury free and to maximize performance. And strength training, no matter what age you are, will do both of those things so long as you get the right type of training for the right age, okay? In the Junior Academy, we have put a huge focus on the development of neural skills. In fact, out of the 12 weeks, I think we spend 7 or 8 of them developing neural skills. So it's so, so important as a younger dancer to get this. In the Junior Academy, we will be having the dancers do all these types of skills training around their dance class so that they can really, really benefit so that we don't have to have the same huge number of people asking how do they get their dancers sharper, how do they not roll their ankles, how do they get up on their toes, because we will have developed all this from a very young age, okay? So guys, I hope that helps. We will, when we're talking about programming, so, you know, where do we actually fit all this in around our dance class? Like I've mentioned, we do 20-minute segments and so on. How do we actually fit it all in? Keep an eye out for, I'm going to be doing a whiteboard presentation, which is going to be more video based on social media. And what we're going to do is just go through weekly training schedules. So for anybody that isn't on the academy, probably will never have heard of us talking around how do you actually put all this into a weekly training schedule. You know, if you're dancing 3 days per week, let's say it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, what am I meant to do on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday? You know I need to do core training, I know I need to do conditioning training, I know I need to do, now you're telling me I need to do neural skills training, how do I put it all in? So let's do a whiteboard presentation on that where we can write out what a kind of sample week would look like for someone that dances 2 days per week, 3 days per week, 4 days per week, and, you know, the differences in the ages as well. So that'll kind of really give you some sort of structure that you can base your weekly training around, because ultimately as a dancer and an athlete, you need weekly structure, you need a weekly training plan, and you need some sort of accountability, something that you can follow every day. Because if it's just up to you, it won't be done, or at least to the amount that it needs done, okay? So guys, I hope that helps. Get working on those neural skills if you're a younger dancer. If you're an older dancer, understand why you need to be working more on your muscular development and hormonal strength. And understand that when we mix the two around, it doesn't really work very well. So stick to the type of strength training that you need for your age. And as always, guys, if you have any questions on any of this type of stuff, please just let me know. It's robert@rnhacademy.com. Shoot me an email and I'll be happy to look over anything that you need me to look over or give further advice, okay? So guys, I hope that helps, and thank you for listening, and I will see you back here for episode 16.